You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, Jennifer and Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
J and J.
How you feeling, Joe?
Working on it.
Joe came kind of a bit unshaven. And
partially.
Oh, human. Whoops.
Yeah. Are you trying to grow a goatee or are you just...
I'm trying to surprise Eunjung when she comes back from her mother's.
This is your writer strike beard.
Yeah.
Trying to do a sort of a Letterman thing.
Except it's still at the stage of that Korean guy.
Maybe
I still can't remember. Yeah,
I'll shave John it on something. The air next week.
On the air. That'll be exciting.
Do it for charity. This is our penultimate show.
And the angels are crying.
Yes, the second from last show. I was in a bit of debate with somebody, the penultimate, that
the one before the ultimate.
Yeah, but penultimate just means, you know, ultimate has several definitions, but one definition of ultimate is, like, you know, the best, the greatest,
yeah.
But also just in a list, the last item in a list. And penultimate means the second from last. But many times people, I think, use it to almost mean like the best or real as a superlative.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm like, well, I don't think you can really use it as a superlative. It's just sort of the second last item. That's all it's really saying.
Yeah.
And it's like saying you're number 9. Well, I guess maybe 9 out of 10. But then he's sort of saying, well, you know, if you tacitly sort of mean to imply that the ultimate is impossible and then that the next to last is the only really possible you can get, therefore you can use a superlative. And I'm like...
I would say that's definitely stretching the language.
you're really stretching.
Maybe if it was, like, poetic, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just me.
Yeah, so we just start landing punches on each other. It was not.
Those semantic arguments can be the worst.
Yeah, this was on my skeptic message board. not even the Korean English message board. Yeah. Anyway, Joe, you met a fan, but not a fan of the podcast, but a fan of your Zenkinchi
personal food
blog.
Yeah, I was out to dinner on Friday night, and I was paying for dinner, and this guy came up to me and goes, "Are you Zenkinchi?" Yeah? I hate you.
Would you call that a fan then?
Well, we ended up being friends after that because we saw each other last night too. And we went to the same bar for Anyang Open Mic Night, which was a lot of fun, which is reason of my present condition.
Is there comedy in that or is it just music or poetry reading? Like,
Right now it's really just music, but it's really eclectic. Sometimes there's Korean traditional music being played at it.
Go really, do some free verse.
Yeah, really good. There were some punk bands last night, Korean Western bands, mixed bands.
Okay.
Lots of fun. Everyone had a good time.
So
especially that girl on the pool table. But yeah.
Do tell.
We're on battery today, so.
Oh, okay. That's good. I saw Rosie yesterday when I picked up the cookies.
Oh, yes.
And she was chastising us for having a 45-minute main topic last
week.
Was
that 45 minutes?
Or it was a couple weeks ago, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Oops.
I think her point was, speed it up.
Oh. But, Joe, you're anti-fan.
Well, yeah. Well, now he's a fan again.
Oh, okay.
He just had to get to know the real you.
No, it's just that I make all these restaurant recommendations, or I just speak to them on my site, and he went to a few of them, and he hated them.
Okay. All right. But you, when you're, it was like an Indian food or something. He didn't like the Indian restaurant.
Indian food restaurant, yeah. Which isn't really an Indian restaurant. It's kind of a Pan-Asian place, but it's the closest you can get to a non-Korean curry out in the suburbs.
Yeah. When approaching non-Korean food, like, you know, Indian food, Mexican food, you have to come in with a different metric, you know?
Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can't compare it to, like, Tex-Mex at home you know, like the Indian shop on the corner in England where this guy was from.
Yeah,
you have to sort of put on the lens that how much ketchup was used in lieu of tomato sauce.
And that's it. There's no. That's what I like about this place. There's no ketchup in their curry. There's no squeeze bottles used. They actually have like weird. They actually have like paneer. You cannot find paneer.
All right.
Paneer, not mayonnaise that they've somehow.
No, it's real. It's real paneer. It's that vegetarian Indian cheese.
All right, cool.
Yeah, they actually have it there. I thought that's pretty good for a little place in Anyang.
Okay.
You know, surrounded by ganjatang places.
Okay. Man. Yeah, I caught your Grey Herald article.
Oh yeah.
That was good. I like the sesame leaf pesto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Because that's, you know what I mean, pesto. How much is a little bottle of pesto here? Like $5-$6.
Oh, I'm sure it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And
by so little, simple. You mean like tablespoon
it's
size?
It's just a paste. It's just a paste you throw in the blender.
Yeah. And so, but was it, it's basil. Make it with basil. Mm. Yeah. But, I fresh basil, not like the.
No, you can't use fish, you
the
can't
dry.
Use, you can't
stuffing.
Use the fish food basil. No.
Yeah. And so your point was, either you can't get that here, or it's, you know, vastly expensive. But sesame leaves are, of course,
plentiful and botanically they're from the same family.
All right.
As basil.
Yeah, I bought the paper on Wednesday, and it was the wrong day. I was very disappointed.
Oh, really?
Are you?
I haven't even seen the hard copy. Did they have a picture on there?
Are you ever
on Wednesday? There was like a whole page of expat living stuff, and it was all interesting. But you were not there.
Mine wasn't on there. But you saw it. Did you see the hard copy?
You're the Tuesday, I think.
I was Tuesday.
You're Tuesday, I believe. Yes.
Surveillance.
Lying to me. No.
That's
whatever.
How bad I am.
No problem.
But your pesto didn't have cheese in it. I thought pesto has. You need cheese, like some parmesan
or something. I guess that was more of an optional thing because not everyone's going to have access to cheese, to parmesan cheese. Right.
But not the Kraft stuff shake on your
powdered cheese?
Yeah.
Cheese product.
Okay. Hey, I've made pesto and I've used mozzarella, not...
parmesan is so expensive here. It's like 20,000 won.
Yeah,
for a
I would
tiny
say.
Sliver.
And I was just thinking maybe think of the cheese as a condiment you can throw on. Optional.
Right.
And someone actually read the article and she made a version herself.
Okay.
She put cheese in it.
All right.
Luna Soul Sister. She's a blogger. Soul Sister. I'm sorry. I'm white. I say Soul Sister.
All right. You know, last week, the cheese puff balls snack of the week.
Yes.
Yeah. How'd that turn out?
Yeah. Well, I brought those in, and again, my super special funny friend Heather came in, you know, looking for her bonus, and so I just loaded her down with as many of those as I could. But even there were still some left, and she sort of wandered away, like, you know, oh, so happy, kind of like, you know, like when you give a 4-year-old, you know, a handful of pennies, and they suddenly think they're rich, and then eventually dawns on them the purchasing power, you know. So she sort of wandered away, like, oh, so happy. And then, you know, next day came in looking for snacks, and then I tried to give her more of those. She's like, no.
Did not like the cheese.
No, did not know. Yeah. So.
That's so funny. When a kid will turn down a snack because it's not tasty enough.
Yes. So, yeah. And,
considering what they'll buy for themselves.
But this week's snack. Now, Joe actually brought some backup snacks because I don't think he hasn't been trusting my snacks.
I just thought people would be interested. This is something that's new, and I'm going to feature it on the site soon.
All right.
But it's something that people, so far, everyone who's had it loves it.
These are...
In sharp contrast to our usual snack of the week.
As of late, yeah. These are choco pies, not choco pies, but they are.
No. They're like little, like they remind me of like little Debbie snacks. Cupcakes there filled with goo.
Custard.
Yeah, I know they usually have the yellow.
Yeah, usually
custard
it's got yellow,
inside.
What they call custard, which in no way resembles custard.
But now they have a new flavor called cheese yogurt.
Ooh.
Which I've noticed in the yogurt section at the grocery store, they have something called cheese yogurt.
Cheese yogurt. Made by Orion.
So.
All right.
That
Joe,
might be
Joe
a similar
vouches
flavor.
For these.
Yeah, they're good.
Joe's the true expert.
I can taste all the trans fries.
Kind of Twinkie-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A little Debbie snack cake.
I don't know if it's as good as a little Debbie, but I would definitely put it in on par with a Twinkie.
Yeah, it tastes a lot like a Twinkie, but a little. Not sweet, because I think a little tang from the cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. It could be more cheesy, more yogurty.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I could eat these all day.
I hear you. My snack, I keep seeing these in Olive Young, and they're like 200 won each, and I have no idea what they are. But 200 won's kind of a magic figure, because that's like the coins any kid has in his pockets.
Yeah.
Rarely more.
Well, because a bus ticket costs them like 300, so if they get 500 won coin from their parents.
Yeah, exactly.
200 change. Well,
that's smart.
Yeah. So it's kind of like an affordable snack for the children. But again, no idea what it is.
I think it's a huge puffy Cheeto type thing, because my students give these to me for snacks sometimes.
You've had this before?
As service.
This is called I can't read the highly stylized screen.
My bong.
Alright.
Dude, give me some of my bong, man.
Hey, and they do literally look like, you know, like someone has rolled these. A really big one. Joe, what you want? You want the silver, purple, or I know this one's corn.
I'd like purple, if I may.
Alright, go ahead.
The Mardi Gras color.
Purple, right? Now, this one has like little flowers on it.
Oh, I'll take the flowers.
All right, go for it.
You should take a picture of what it actually looks like.
My bone. Yeah, my bone.
Can you sing my Sharona to my bone?
My bone. Yeah. Oh,
my
goodness.
Bone.
Some exciting dead air as we took a picture.
Wow. That looks like.
Wait. Oh, yours looks better than mine.
Yeah,
now
yours
I'm
looks
jealous.
Like yours looks like something I put in the toilet this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
She says that she's about to eat it. Yeah, it's like a big Cheeto.
It's a giant Cheeto. This puppy.
Mine's a giant barbecue flavored Cheeto.
Oh my god, this just sucks the moisture out of your mouth.
This is good. You want to try my poo?
I've had that one before. That one is pretty good. Only good if you really like puppy Cheetos and barbecue flavored potato chips.
But this is totally like a saliva sponge.
It is.
It just.
They'll use those at the dentist, you know?
Yes. Yeah, they should.
They should, because they're kind of reluctant to use the suction here.
You know, battlefield wounds? Just throw one of these on. Man, it would just.
That makes it the perfect soldier equipment. They can eat it if they're hungry. They can save it for casualties.
Yeah, so it's just
I don't want the barbecue.
That's really not too bad, actually.
I like that. For 200 won, a big giant Cheeto?
But if you could buy like a giant bag of those and just sit in front of your TV and eat them nonstop, that would be the best.
I had a roommate who would do that,
It's Korea, so you just get one, but in America, they'd sell them by like the truckload.
Sit there in your underwear watching wrestling.
I honestly, yes, I had a college roommate just like that. He had this, he's a pretty large guy. And he spent the entire day sitting Indian style on the floor with this, watching TV with this stack of this bag of snacks that were as tall as he was. And he'd just sit there, and he would eat that entire bag.
Making the most of his college experience.
Yeah.
I think I spent most of my time at Burger King when I was in university.
Burger King?
Your biggest mistake.
That is really broad. Could you further define...
Anything, your biggest mistake in Korea, anything that those, is purposely broad.
Those, I mean, gin and tonics last night.
All right. Was that your biggest mistake?
That's the biggest mistake right now, because I can't think of anything more.
You know, actually, a big mistake my friend made in Itaewon, and along the lines, gin and tonic. What was it now? He was in a pub in Itaewon. He was using his credit card to pay for drinks. And then at some point in the night, he blackout. He can't remember, you know, any passage of time. There was no anal probing involved, so it wasn't like there was a UFO.
Yeah.
But, so whatever, he just thought, geez, I must have really got drunk that night, you know. And great. And then, you know, like next month, there's like a $2,000 tab on his credit card for that bar.
Oh my God.
And so he was asking around, and he said, oh, you know, that some places they'll, you know, what's that date rape drug?
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
They'll slip that in your drink, you know, if you're using a credit card, and then they just start ringing up everything on that credit card. And,
was this in Korea?
In Itaewon.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's sort of a...
Was this a juicy bar?
I don't think so, but it was sort of like a, just maybe sort of an off-Broadway, off-strip sort of bar, but yeah, so kind of a known scam. So one should always, I try never to use my credit card here.
Yeah.
Using
a credit card open-ended when you're drinking, I think, is just
a bad idea
anywhere in the world. Because at some point, you're going to start getting friendly with the people at the other tables, and you're going to want to buy drinks
for
other
and
people,
when I go out drinking, like last night, I know the owner of the bar. Most everyone there I know. I'm surrounded by people I trust.
Right.
Well, someone I trust, you know. But as much as you can in Korea.
If you're using cash, there's a point that you have to stop drinking.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what I did. I made sure, and actually, I took like just 20,000 won out of my wallet, put it in my pocket, and said, "When this is gone, I'll stop drinking." Dude, wow, it does buy enough gin and tonics
in Korea. Yeah.
Wow, I can't do it like I used to anymore. The thing is, I don't black out. I remember every single thing I did last night. I remember everything I said, and I'm so embarrassed.
But at least you know. At least you won't be getting the strange looks and like building it up in your mind. Like, what did I do?
No,
why are they looking at me like that?
I know what I did. And I think, having some big conversation about, Ron Paul.
That is always a hot topic in Korea.
Ron Paul versus expats. Barack Obama. Versus John Edwards. Oh, yeah, Ron Paul versus John Edwards. Yeah, I get onto that thing.
Jennifer, you have any big... What's your biggest mistake?
I got married.
Okay.
There you go.
I didn't actually put that down on the schedule. Jennifer, of course, marriage. No.
Well, no, I mean, that sounds really bad. And I'm saying this because I know he'll never know that I said that. But, you know, before we got married, we lived together. And
okay.
You know, there's a reason you live together before you get married.
Yep.
And in fact, I started seeing little glimpses of things that did not match what I had seen when we were dating and not living together. But, you know, by that time, I had a ring, the date was set, and I was like, well, you know, maybe this is Korea, you know, whatever. No. It just snowballed from there.
We call that hot committed. Playing poker, you know, you've put so much into the pot that you can't lose it. So the only thing you can do is just keep raising. And
I see, that's a good one.
Yeah, you were pot committed.
But I really wasn't. Like, you know, it's not like I had a dress, or it's not like, you know, like it's not like there were thousands of dollars invested.
Right. In retrospect.
In retrospect.
But it would just be too much effort to get out of it.
Yeah, I would have had to move.
Right.
That would have been a big hassle.
It's weird what you put up with for, like, half the rent, you know?
Except it's Korea, so...
Sure,
like,
yeah, that's true. But,
you know.
Man. Well, of course, I would say my biggest mistake, everyone knows my biggest mistake, was talking about my old school online.
Oh, right, yes. Okay, the
fill me
one,
in.
Right.
I don't know about this. I'm not everyone, apparently.
You know.
Remember what we were talking about. We were talking about that. First time Joe was here, about being sued by his
Yeah.
Well, not really sued. I was investigated by the police.
Right, cyber crime.
Why just be sued when you can be investigated by the police?
Criminal libel, right, yes.
So that is a big mistake. That's what you need to watch out for, is who you talk about. Because it is a criminal offense to hurt anyone's reputation, no matter how well deserved.
Right, yes. Yeah.
It's still a criminal offense. It'll change one day. I've talked to Korean law experts, and they say it is going to change, but not fast enough. And by the way, yes, finally the appeal the criminal case has been thrown out of the Seoul courts. So
okay.
I'm a free man.
When do you get your party cash?
That part of the lawsuit's still going on.
Oh, okay.
So sometime about retirement. Is this, like, is interest accruing? Is this an escrow or something?
To me, I think it's the opposite. I think the amount's going down. It's being whittled away more and more. I don't know. Either way, I know that I am going to win, but even then I'm not going to see the money, I don't think.
All right.
But
so
it's a moral bet.
Are they going to have to pay your legal fees in the end? Or?
Well, I don't really have any legal fees.
Oh, awesome.
I'm a public lawyer. Very hard for a foreigner to get a public lawyer.
Yeah.
That was a major coup. Thank you. My woman did that. She's a genius. She's a freaking genius. The way she can pull this stuff off.
Man. Oh, I saw on your YouTube section, you know, the one about the short skirt.
Oh, yeah, the
hiking.
Legs video.
Right, yeah. Now,
that's my cheap video.
Yeah.
That's my
It had a legitimate cultural purpose, because it was you're out hiking in November, and a woman is going hiking in November in a little mini skirt
with high heels.
Yeah, like, is she going? Did she think there was a disco at the top of the hill?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're literally trying to show this is an aspect of Korea you're gonna have to sort of, you know, grin and bear. And but it wasn't like you're just following women around, you know.
Oh no, no, because you see the end of it. It's just right out of the corner of our eye that we saw it.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, you're not following women around like Gangnam or Myeongdong with a video camera.
No.
Going, ooh, look at the women in short skirts.
I've not had any comments accusing me of being a pervert.
No, there was.
There was one.
I didn't maybe check it lately, but there was the one comment where a guy's like something about, this is what happens when you let a white guy have a video camera.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's what happens when you have a man with a video camera.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a heterosexual man with a video camera.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that.
How could
that,
you not do that? With you have a zoom lens. Use it.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
I think my biggest mistake, and I'm reading the paper today, you know, Bobby Fischer being dead.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I 4 years in Korea, I'm really thinking maybe I spent too much time here. That maybe I should have only spent the 2 years planned. That's my thinking. Because it's like, you know, it's like I'm really thinking about just going back to Canada and the huge adjustment. And it doesn't sound like something I really want to do. You know, it's like, but then I don't want to become like, you know, Bobby Fischer and start doing, you know, radio broadcasts, you know, the Jews are responsible for 9/11, and, you know, just go crazy, you know, grow a beard or something. But
is having a beard a sign of being on strike?
Well, I mean, you ever see Bobby Fischer? He had this huge white beard. You know, he looked like what was his name?
Santa Claus?
Yeah, no, not Santa Claus.
Grizzly Adams?
Oh, K- killed himself with a shotgun in Cuba. Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, he's got this little Ernest Hemingway kind of beard thing. He looks like kind of a crazy Ernest Hemingway. Although Ernest Hemingway might be crazy.
Hemingway was not, yeah.
That guy, a crazy version of Hemingway?
That guy was like, okay. Everyone knows around him, they would use him as the guy to sick on people they didn't like. He loved to pick fights.
All right. Man, so yeah. I don't know, I'm just trying to think, on an adjustment thing, I'm like, it was different when I was in Seattle, because I'm going from Seattle back to, say, Toronto, where going from a smaller city back to a bigger city, but now I'm going from a city of 10 million to, like,
When I went to Perth, though, it wasn't really that hard.
Really?
And I even had to learn how to drive on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, jeez.
Well, they do that in Australia, don't they?
Yeah, crazy people.
How is Perth?
Perth is beautiful.
Okay, answer me this.
Magnificent, wonderful.
Yesterday the guy talking to that hated me was talking about how much better Australian seafood is than anywhere in the world.
Well, I'm from Louisiana, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm from around that area too. What do you think?
Well, see, I was married to someone who thinks that seafood can kill you because it's so disgusting. So I didn't actually eat that much seafood when I was there.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I've noticed, I tend to think that the oysters in Korea taste better than the ones from back home. They're smaller, but they're brinier.
Depends on the source.
Maybe so. Well, there's a little more oil these days on the oysters.
Yeah. No, because just because you get oysters at home, if they're not served on the half shell, then you don't know, like,
yeah,
how long
it's
been since they've been,
always get
processed.
Them on the half shell. Yeah, well, we always bought them by the, on the causeway, next to, on the water, where boats actually come straight up to the place and drop off their soup. And so we always got the fresh oysters back at home. But I've just noticed, like, in Korea, it just seems like it's a different taste. I like it better.
Yeah. I do like the oysters here a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I love that they're plentiful and cheap.
Yeah, one of my students has an oyster restaurant, like oyster pot kind of place.
And that's why we have a podcast there.
I'm always trying to convince kids, what, your mom makes duck poke? Bring some in Monday for the whole class.
Oh, no. Her parents are great. They're always calling and saying, come, everybody come and eat at the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay. Because I am honestly hunting for a good jjokbokki place, grilled shellfish. Because the only places I've had that has been good is, on the beach. And I'm trying to find something like in Seoul because, I want to have it again. And the trouble is trying to get a bunch of people who actually like eating seafood together because Eunjong can't stand shellfish. So I'm just trying to get someplace where I can get a central place where I can get a lot of people together so we can, finally eat it. Because I love that. It's like one of the best foods in the world. What do you think about grilled shellfish? Come on. It's like, what? Shellfish, which is actually some of the best things you could ever put in your mouth if you're into that, and fire. And you put it together, and it's a violent, surreal, just decadent food.
You couldn't think of other mistakes.
Sorry. Are you suggesting that we've digressed?
No, sorry.
I did it again.
What, we're going to make people are going to go, after the next podcast, if things don't improve, I'm never going to listen again. Yeah, like that's going to happen. All right, anyways, one thing, a teaching mistake. I think my biggest teaching mistake is...
Oh, I got a big teaching mistake.
Maybe my first year... coming to teaching with the idea that, children are little rational adults and are actually excited to learn English.
Nope.
And kind of like treating them in that way and not sort of realizing that you can't rationalize with the kids that they only go so far, that you have to sort of... You got to sort of establish immediate control from day one, and then slowly portion out the kindness as warranted versus giving them the kindness and then expecting them to act like rational beings.
I take a few cues from Gordon Ramsay.
Hell's Kitchen.
I really.
you have to walk in there, guns blazing.
Yeah.
whips cracking, and then after they've proven themselves,
then you give them the good, and they appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah,
because I went nuts on Friday. I had the worst class, just the worst class. We call them the monkey class.
All right.
Because they bounce off the walls all right. the time.
With all love and kindness.
Yeah. And they've been going through, if you know the Up and Away series.
Yeah.
They went through Up and Away 4. I'm surprised being able to get through Up and Away 4. Well, most of Up and Away 4 is, towards the end, is really hard stuff. Adverbs, superlatives, comparatives.
All right.
Which is really, it's backwards from Korean, for one thing. The order of those.
Yeah.
And the spelling rules are really hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
So they got through that. And then the last unit is changing something in the future tense by putting is going to on something. You know, he rides a bike. He is going to ride a bike. I gave him a test.
All right.
The scores ranged basically from 3 to 16 out of 24. And I was getting answers like, he to be riding bike going.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. And that is when you just want to walk over, open the window, and jump out.
Yeah, that's when I went in, and I actually did a whole Ramsey routine. There was spittle involved.
Oh, yeah.
I kicked a desk.
Awesome.
I don't lose my temper too much, but I really put on the show so
yeah.
that they were finally, because they're usually just talking and just cutting up and playing, and they were just, I saw the wide eyes this time. And I gave them a punishment. I wrote all the correct answers on the board, and I said, for each one you got wrong, this is a very Ramseyan punishment.
All right.
For each one you get wrong, you write the sentence 5 times. I'm going to come by and inspect. If one thing is wrong, if one word is misspelled, if you spell backwards with an O, one thing is not capitalized, or if I don't see a period, you're writing it 5 more times. Very Ramseyan punishment. And it was great, because some of the kids frustrates me because they can't even copy a word correctly.
That's what makes me mad, is when they can't copy
that
correctly.
That is just laziness. That's yes. not, they don't understand it. No, they're being lazy.
Yes.
And there were lots of people. I would go by, they go, teacher, finishy. Okay. Go look at it.
Not finished.
backwards, backwards. 5 more times.
Yeah. By way of comparison, my mother-in-law speaks no Korean.
All right.
She sent me a Christmas card, and she copied the Hangul from the return address.
Oh, how nice.
And I got the letter.
Good job.
Awesome.
Now, she made some mistakes in it. I was little bit surprised that she got it. But the fact that she was able to copy it closely enough that the post office got it to me in a very timely manner.
Right.
Like, I mean, it got to me in a week.
Yeah.
You know, like, that says something. If she can do that, and the woman is 800 years old, I mean, she was evacuated during the war. That's how old my mother-in-law is.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was able to copy Hangul closely enough, and my handwriting is pretty messy.
No.
So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, so my students should be able to copy a neatly written sentence.
Type sentence,
yes. Of letters that they have learned.
Yeah.
So it's...
Idiot class. There's just one girl. She has been studying English for 3 years.
All right.
Every week I keep telling her, start a sentence with a capital letter. She still can't do it.
Yeah.
She can't do it.
So the mistake you shouldn't make is throw out, you know, Dead Poet Society, Mr. Holland's Opus, rent or download Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah. And
Lad's Army.
Yeah, and that old, there's an older Britcom called Chef with that big, with black guy.
Oh, yeah. I've only watched a couple episodes of that.
Oh, that's good. He's, yeah. I had a friend who was like a chef, like, at, you know, like the major hotel in Toronto, yeah, and that's just the kitchen personality, you know, that you just yell and you're fast and you're curt and you know. Well, what at one time he when he was starting out, like, he cut his hand or his finger with one of the knives. And so he went to you know, the head chef, wanted, you know, signed workman compensation papers or something. And he's like, there's no workman compensation. You know, there's only punishment for stupidity in the kitchen. You know, something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen, my brother's a chef, and his hands look like ground meat. I mean, there's like actually like deep holes. Holes in his hand from burns.
Oh God. Yeah.
God. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, he's just what, 29, and he's just
scarred for life.
Scarred hands.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
English T-shirt finds. Joe, you have any? Scare up any?
Oh! Yeah.
In a jacket pocket.
In my inside coat, but you can start.
All right, Jennifer, you find any?
That's not mine.
Come on. Any coat should do.
Okay, just.
Yeah, I got the ratty old leather jacket, and Joe's got the.
Don't know why you're not putting your stuff in Carl's pockets. That'd be so much more convenient.
There we go.
I have a car rear windshield find.
Okay.
All right.
Yesterday, I was stuck on the bus, and of course, I did not have my camera because traffic was stopped. We were parallel for like 5 minutes. I could have taken a really good picture. Coming baby in. I think it was like fetus on board is what they were going for.
Right.
But it was only written in English, so apparently, if you speak broken English,
all right,
or English good enough to understand broken English, and you're driving behind them,
all right,
be careful because there's a pregnant woman.
I'm not sorry. Looking through my pictures, I found girl on pool table. Oh boy, she was having a good time.
Is the one bent over the pool table?
No, the one going.
Oh, okay, right.
She was macking on every guy could get her hands on that night. Poor girl. Okay, I'm going to mine. This is from Korea.
Oh, I guess I don't get to see the drunk girl.
You'll get to see the drunk girl. You will. I'm not. Okay. this is from our favorite chicken barbecue restaurant.
All right.
Because they have smoked turkey there. But they do have this 3-ply pork marinated in wind.
What kind of wind exactly?
3-ply, and even the 3-ply, it's like,
yeah, it's
toilet paper.
They were looking through a dictionary, and they misspelled wine.
Wine.
It's a typo.
Ah,
it's wine sangapsal.
Oh, okay. What's wine in Korea?
Oh,
wine.
But it should be potoju.
Well,
if it's grape alcohol,
potoju.
Yeah.
But
the
wine.
The 3-ply is like samgyup. It's like three levels.
Yeah, samgyup. Yeah, like three strips.
So,
type, yeah.
3-ply.
But
three,
I think it's poetic. It is poetic. 3-ply pork marinated in wind.
Man. Joe, food guy, what's your position on samgyupsal?
I like gogyupsal. All
right.
It has the skin on it.
All right.
5-layer meat. All
right. So,
5-ply.
Samgyupsal is like the most tasteless, boring.
That was
barbecue.
That was my first impression.
All right.
It's extremely fatty bacon.
Yeah.
It's just bacon without the curing.
Yeah.
I've developed a taste for it because it's pure. It's a very,
right,
it's a very pure. And sometimes, yes, you can actually get it over charcoal.
Okay.
Some places you can get it over charcoal. It's wonderful there. But you know, Enjoy and I eat it at home fairly frequently. It's just for one thing, you can really taste. I really like the Korean pork. I just like the flavor. It has a lot more flavor than American factory raised pork. And you know, you have your sesame oil and your salt and your pepper.
All right.
I usually like putting fresh cracked black pepper on my samgyupsal. It's good like that. I don't know. It's just, it is a little boring because it's not. Yeah, it has
all
no.
Right.
It's pure.
Okay.
It's honest.
All right.
It's honest meat.
I saw this one. This is your coffee and wee wee. I see your coffee
Did
and wee wee.
Did I send it to you?
Yes. That was a couple weeks ago. I see your coffee and wee-wee, and I raise you a pee-pee girl. some fashion brand called Pee-Pee Girl. But then I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if they had a dance team? The pee-pee dance team? Oh, man.
I loved the ad on Craigslist, by the way.
Oh, I completely forgot to do copy and paste the text of that. And I don't even remember.
Oh, I'm trying to remember it, too.
It was a 42-year-old retiree.
All right, okay.
Looking for a wife.
Yes.
Basically. Oh, that guy. Yeah. They had a picture of him on a boat.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, okay.
Picture of him, which I'm thinking they took the picture sometime in the 70s.
Maybe,
with
yes.
That Mac Daddy
mustache.
It looks
like something from Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
You ever seen that series?
No.
Everyone, go online. Check out. Go on YouTube. Look for Yacht Rock.
Is it like
it's amazing.
Cop Rock, but without the
quality writing. It's like a tongue-in-cheek. It's like a little it's like a behind-the-scenes documentary of like Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross. and all the in Hall & Oates and all the intricate fighting and rivalries in the whole world of smooth music
for yachts.
It's a great series.
Oh my god, I've got to see it.
You got to see it.
Sweet.
Yeah, he definitely
Loggins,
has.
How Kenny Loggins turned his back on smooth. We need to do Caddyshack theme.
The guy definitely has a Magnum PI
right,
mustache
yeah.
going
yes.
on.
Yes. But so it looks like Yacht Rock. Yeah. Around there.
But I forget the text of his ad. There was something. It was so offensive. You were like, "Why would any woman ever respond to this ever?" Kind of like, you know.
He's rich.
I don't know. It was,
if he really is.
It was just really insulting. But yeah, it's Craigslist. You go on the Soul Craigslist and the men seeking women. If you want like a lot of laughs and some occasional nudity, you got to go to that.
It's good nudity or?
Well, men seeking women. So, you know.
Oh, I don't want that nudity.
Men displaying the goods.
Yeah, men displaying the goods.
Oh,
sometimes.
God.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It usually works better for women seeking men to display the goods,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then I saw this one, and it looked like gangbang. This guy was wearing a jacket. It looked like gangbang. Like, but the font was really, you know, old English, highly stylized. And then Helvetica font. The name of the company was on there as well. But it, you know, Bang Bang or Bang Bang.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
This is some clothing company called Bang Bang.
Yeah, there's Bang Bang.
Yeah, but the B in the highly stylized, like the B was turned on its side, and it was so stylized it really looked like a G. It looked like Gang Bang. And I'm like.
But anyway, yeah, he was looking for. I remember him saying specifically, "Your English doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
But you will get to know me."
That's the Craigslist guy.
Yeah.
I remember there was one guy once who was sort of like, his whole like, I want to take a woman from the third world and take her to America. Obviously, he had
make
never,
her my slave.
Yeah, I'd never been in Korea and probably never learned anything about Korea since, you know, MASH. And
yeah.
The concept that it's not quite a third world country.
Not really.
That would be the
country.
Most awesome punishment for his arrogance when he gets some Gangnam Princess.
Yeah, Gangnam Princess.
Like, where's my fur coat?
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Oppa!
Yeah. I need a new diamond watch. This diamond watch is last year's.
And then this is one of those, like, you know, like, oddly unsuccessful businesses, like the, you know, the Viking buffet, where then last moment they discover there is no Italian Viking buffet. Where,
Italian Viking?
There is no Italian Viking food, you know, like, oh my god.
But, they sail the Mediterranean.
But I've heard of Viking buffet, but I thought it was a seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
This was Italian Viking.
Italian Viking.
This one's.
We're going to rape and pillage. Come on. Come on, Luigi. We're going to rape and pillage.
Yeah. We need a smorgasbord. Yeah. Spaghetti.
All right. That was my racist impression of the day.
This one's called Mano. Mano, clothing company. Mano. But it's a trend in women's fashion. Man's.
See, I thought it was mono. Like mono
well,
a mono.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be. Well, even mono. Mono a man to man.
Yeah.
But either way, man is man.
But if you look, look at the sciences here, Imde. So the store, obviously,
for
it's
rent.
Gone out of business, and the store is now for rent. So it's like, you know, it's like I opened that lesbian bar called, you know, Giant Cock. And I couldn't. I, nobody came. I couldn't figure it out.
You're getting more risque now that things are closing down.
I don't know. It just seems sort of along those lines.
I sincerely think that most Korean businesses have the business plan of open Monday, Tuesday make big profit.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Like that's
the,
their plan.
It's the underwear gnome's yes. business plan.
Then I go to the Philippines and retire in splendor.
Yeah. Yeah. And another part of the business plan might be, are there 800 exactly identical shops that are selling the exact same product within 300 yards? Perfect.
That's a great place. It's good.
Well, yesterday I saw one and I tried to get a picture, but you know, it's kind of hard because, yeah. And a woman, she was wearing a t-shirt, you know, like the Rolling Stones, you know, the Lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know?
And, but this was not the Stones in concert. This was the Strones in concert.
Yeah.
An R before the O.
Well, it was just like a monogram instead of R Stones.
Yeah.
It was the Strones.
The Strones, yeah. So, yeah. So it's like, you know.
That's a great punk band name.
The
Strones.
So, yeah. The Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, man.
I took a picture of the beer girl. The current free promotion at
All right.
is Heineken. They've got a girl in a Heineken outfit giving out free beer at the store.
That's what I love about that. Another thing you love about Korean grocery stores. I tell you about the one in I was going down there, and they were giving away free samples of Kahlua.
Free booze, right?
I called my boss. And Chris, come down to E-Mart, free Kahlua.
Yeah. Major grocery stores. Not some kind of place where, you know, only adults will be going.
A 20-year-old in a bikini store. Giving free Kahlua to, like, 40-year-old women. Yes. And nobody thinks there's anything strange about that.
I know.
There's nothing strange.
There are
about
no
that.
Letters being written to the management.
No.
There are no protests.
No, it's usually Ajima with a kid in the shopping cart, drinking the Kahlua, going next, trying the wine sample.
Thread on the teacher message board about Burberry men, you know, male flashers who hang outside, and it's like they are there like clockwork every day at an exact time and exact. They got their spot.
They got a schedule.
Yeah, it's like you know, like the little food cart. You know, this is my spot, and no one ever thinks, hey, why don't we call the cops? It's just, you know, it's just the cost of doing business. You open a school, there will be a Burberry man. This one isn't attacking the children, he's just flashing his willy, you know? And so we may as well have him instead of the guy who maybe flashes his willy and then attacks the children. I don't know. It makes zero sense whatsoever. But then this, I captured some what I was talking about last week. You know, you've made it in Korea when your picture's on socks.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And this one pretty much captures it.
So yeah, that's it, exactly.
Yon Sama, Spider-Man, and that...
then that frog-looking character.
Yeah, that is all over the place all of a sudden. Like, I had never seen this character before a couple of months ago, and now all of my students have stuff with that
character.
Yeah, the
soft
character. This is the bread, the shiny bread, that they're having those stickers in there. But apparently the stickers, they're like rare. There are rare stickers, and they're common stickers. And so, so it's almost like, what was it, Magic the Gathering, Magic the Addiction? So Cardboard Crack. You know that card game, Magic the Addiction?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, people used to also call it Magic the Addiction, Magic the Gathering. Or they would also call it Cardboard Crack. You know, because there were the rare cards, and you were always buying cards, trying to get the rare cards. So I think it's like, but this is brilliant. Because, like, you look on the ground, and the new litter on the ground are the shiny Kuro wrappers. They're everywhere now. And, that's where it's coming from. You don't need your kids to tell you anymore. You just look, what is the trash on the ground? That is the latest fashion trend in Korea, based on the trash on the ground. And but that's brilliant. You know, it's like a sticker that costs a penny, throw it in your bag, and the kids are just buying it like crap. End of story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see Yu-Gi-Oh cards all over the ground, too.
Yeah, I always see those Yu-Gi-Oh cards all over the ground. Like, why don't they pick them up? Aren't those valuable? Don't they like
those?
Yeah,
I know. Maybe it was just a really bad card.
Man.
Yeah, and the common card that nobody needs.
The Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, Double D.
Yeah, they've sort of rebranded themselves. Now they're DD.
KFC.
Yeah,
now
KFC.
DD.
Yeah. And and then
I think that's to appeal to the Western man. Gonna go to Double D.
I never thought about that. Double D.
Well, they really have. I was just listening to it on NPR. They've really been having this aggressive ad campaign, trying to portray themselves as the blue collar alternative to Starbucks. So it's like they're doing themselves as the place where everyone else gets their coffee.
Okay.
Which could be true, because their coffee is cheaper.
Sure, yeah.
And it's good. I think it's good.
But their service is absolutely egregiously horrible. Like, you know, we've got morning classes right now. There's a Dunkin' Donuts on the way to school, so some of us stop there. At least one or two of the teachers will stop there every day on the way. And half the time, they're out of coffee.
Yeah.
And this is 8:30 in the morning. Yeah, who'd be buying coffee at 8:30 in the morning?
And it's like they don't have to do anything because it is serve yourself place. Like, what else are they doing?
Right.
Yeah, they're just standing there.
And there's going to be four people standing behind the counter tripping over each other because the counter space is like, it's, you know, 3 feet by 5 feet.
God forbid if you order anything that they have to cook.
Oh God!
You're stuck there for 30 minutes. You're stuck there for 30 minutes while they figure out the microwave.
Well, I mean, even Starbucks in Korean, I mean, 90% of the time you order a coffee and they have to start brewing it. It's like, oh, someone wants coffee. It's Starbucks. Okay, I can handle this. I've been trained. I know how to make the coffee.
You know what is so funny? At my Starbucks, I don't know if this is all over Korea, but at my Starbucks, they have classes on Saturdays.
Yeah, right, yes.
Where you can learn how to drink certain products.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it's coffee. It's pretty much tip the cup into your mouth.
That's a smart... That's actually a very smart promotional thing because, a lot of people just don't know what to order, what's involved in it. And it's more of a status thing.
I know, yeah, but it just seems so funny. Like, it's wine tasting, you know. Learn how to swirl it or something. No, it's
so the proper way to taste coffee. Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
No, it's not like coffee. They'll have, like, one product.
Oh.
That they're, like... This week's product was one of the new teas.
Oh.
And they're showing, like, how to drink this cup of tea. So it is a good promotion to introduce the new tea, but to imply that people would not know how to drink it is kind of funny.
The Southern Maid.
Oh, how's it going?
They've took the sign down. I guess they've abandoned bringing kolaches to Korea. Yeah.
It almost was.
Yeah. Oh, I did notice it. I would walk by there every day, and the the cement bags were untouched, weren't even moved, and eventually
someone ran off with the money.
Yep.
Maybe, yeah. God. And then, yeah, I was in a food court yesterday, the World Food Court, which one should not be fooled, because you'll find these around Korea, around Seoul.
Do they have three different kinds of kimbap?
Well, yeah, in Korea, World Food Court means Korean food plus Burger King.
The fine flavors of the world.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, kimbap, all the world does not enjoy kimbap. Because, you know, everywhere we go, there's kimbap.
There's cheese kimbap. That's international.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I feel that... Not a real clue about the reach of.
Yeah, we have a new building that they had a Burger King sign on the construction shield months.
All right.
Burger King and Bennigan's. We're like, wow, this is going to be a pretty nice building when it's done. The building is opened and those signs are gone. So I think what they were doing was saying, if you would like to open a Burger King, inquire within.
Suggested serving, yes.
Oh, possibly. It was to attract other people saying, this is bait and switch, maybe.
Yeah.
And then
maybe. That could happen in Korea.
One of the PR tissues. Korea Herald, Korea Times. Sorry, you're writing for them, Joe. But
I'm just contributing. Yeah. I'm not writing for them. I'm just contributing.
Yeah, you're not a real employee. But I'm just taken to referring to them as the PR tissues. and because they're not PR brochures, they're kind of not very big, and it's there's not a lot of real news in there. It's all kind of you know.
Yesterday, the front page of the Joongang Ilbo.
All right.
The cover story was about the Korean girl who won a modeling contest.
Yeah.
International.
Who won the what?
Oh, it was some international, supermodel, yeah, right? The Ford supermodel contest, right. A Korean one. That was a front page story.
Now all your girls are going to want to be models. They've given up the golfing, and now they're going to be like...
Yeah, right. They've given up golf. Now it's going to be modeling.
They're like, oh, geez, I just enrolled in the ice skating. You know, now I got to go, the golfing is ice skating, now I got to be freaking supermodel.
You know, there is a pop star hog one.
Yeah, I emailed really? Both of y'all about it.
Oh, you did? That's where that came from.
That was me. Yeah, that was a whole page article on Friday was about the pop star hog one, run by SM Entertainment, which is one of the big, I think it's Wonder Girls.
Yeah, husband. Wonder Girls, yeah. Right.
In fact, one of the Wonder Girls went there for 7 years.
Really?
It paid off.
She's in a movie now, I think. What? Wildcats or something.
Oh, the young one. The young one.
Yeah. Yeah, Wildcats. Or something like that. Kind of about like three precocious women that, you know, just consume men like, you know, like me and donuts. You know? I don't know. But the news tissue, it had the... Seoul schools may hire Asian enelgish teachers.
Not
oh,
soon
you
enough,
did,
apparently.
You didn't do that typo?
No, it wasn't my typo.
Oh my gosh.
enelgish. I'm like, all right, well, best of luck. Good luck with that.
Oh,
first, they got scooped like 2 weeks ago by the International Herald. Yeah. I had the same information a couple weeks ago.
And then I've had this folder, like the attendance folder, for, you know, months now, and I finally got bored enough to read it. Fastener file. Be lively, your life with colors.
Himang. Hope.
Himang. Be lively, your life with colors.
So I hope you can be lively with your colors in your life.
Yeah. And then I was watching, Arirang, and... The portion where they give over their airwaves to corporate videos, pretending like, no, this is programming, you know. and there was a thing about the Maasai walking shoes.
Yeah.
Made in Korea. And spot the logical fallacy, Joe.
Okay.
All right. So
beyond Maasai shoes made in Korea.
Yeah. So Maasai people, tribe in Africa, they walk very tall and straight.
Because they are very tall.
And the Maasai people have very low instances of geriatric diseases. So therefore, these shoes will make you walk like a Maasai. Ergo, you will have a healthy life when you're older.
Forgive me, I could be wrong, but are not the Maasai the ones who run barefoot?
Yeah. there's a couple problems there. Well, one, it's like... what does the walking straight have to do with low instances of geriatric diseases?
Yes. They may have low instances of geriatric disease because they died at a young age.
Exactly. If there are no geriatrics, if they're all dying at, you know, the life expectancy is 50, then, yeah, it's like ever since I started wearing, this purple hoodie, there have been no giant lobster attacks on Seoul. So, you know.
Ergo.
The math works.
Yes. But seriously, if you see Maasai people, they're all like real thin, which is also something that has been actually proven to reduce incidence of geriatric illnesses.
It's like calorie restricted diets.
Yes. Yes,
exactly. So, but then they have this like video of the guy wearing normal shoes on the treadmill, and they're measuring his caloric.
You know my love for the exercise videos that show how hard it is to do something that a toddler can do.
Exactly.
And until you get their magic product.
So they measure the calories burned. And then they have him in the Maasai walking shoes. And what does she know? He is burning more calories.
And is he walking faster?
Well, yeah, exactly. You're kind of like, there's one of two things. Well, one, the shoes, the shoes look like you would have trouble just maintaining your balance.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of them.
So if you're always trying to fight your balance, yeah, well, duh. And the other thing, too, you know, it's like if you're wearing, like, Air Jordans, you might really think you can jump higher and actually try to jump higher, right? You know? So there's a couple little problems with that. You know, double blind. And But then I'm like, why not, instead of buying $200 shoes, if you're just having to make more effort in walking, that's all the shoes are doing,
yeah,
buy some wrist weights, you know? And then, you know, some, and just grab a backpack, throw some cinder blocks in it, and
or,
go walking.
You know, if you really want the shoes that make it hard to balance, go buy some of the Ajushi shoes that have, like, the 3-inch soles,
yeah,
and just whittle down the soles into a more of a V shape, yeah, and that's all it is.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
Kids do the darnest things. You know, kids all know the F word, right?
Of course.
Yes, they keep spelling it on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of mine did that, and so he's been quite disgruntled to find that his new chair is attached to mine.
I mean, it makes sense, because when you learn a new language, you always learn the swear words.
Well, and it's written in all their comics.
Yeah. And it's like stronzo. I can swear in Italian. I can't say anything in Italian other than swear words, right? So,
I can cuss in Latin.
Really? Give me a Latin cuss.
Pute tuum.
Pute. Oh, puta, like puta. All right. Putana. All right.
The international word.
Yeah. It's such a useful word. But then the other day, a kid uses the F word in class. But, you know, it's like, puck you. And I'm like, oh, don't say that. That's a bad word. And the kid looks at me, and she's like, teacher, do you know Korean? And I'm like, that's an English swear word. Really? Like the kid, I guess kids now think it's a real Korean swear word. That's become...
I have the most awesome kid swear word story.
Well, it's better than 18.
A kid was...
chip power, right?
Yeah. In some Bruce Willis movie, which I think it's Die Hard,
all right,
he says, Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay.
Yeah. Right.
Beep, yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
In the subtitles, apparently, it said, Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay, English swear word. And so the kid misunderstood, and so he was in class thinking he would be all bad, you
right,
know.
Right.
Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay.
It would be better if you just added English swear word.
Yeah.
English swear word.
Well, it was, yeah, my friend, like, you know, her, you know, one of her students keeps trying to call her a puppy. You're such a puppy. You're a puppy.
Oh.
Yeah. What's kitten in Korean?
Koyangi seki.
Seki, right? Seki.
Yeah.
But if you say dog, gay, seki means like baby animal. But if you say baby dog, keseki, that's actually like son of a bitch or something.
Well,
like,
yeah,
that. Right.
Very,
yeah,
very literally.
Yeah. So how do you actually now have to say puppy? How do you say puppy in Korean?
Goyangi.
What's that?
Goyangi? No, it's not.
I don't know.
Oh,
I just had some of my students translate it for me recently.
All right, yeah. So yeah,
or something like that. I don't know.
You know, I was on page 18, and there are pictures of like baby animals. So, so I'm like, you find the puppy on page 18. Find the keseki on chip pal. Oh, the kids love that.
You made their week.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's like when I say dungsa for verb. But, you know, not like dongsa, but I'm just saying dungsa, which just means like excrete poop, you know.
Yeah.
Sa means like, I guess, excrete. And oh, the kids never get tired of that. It's like, I think I mentioned it before, where I used to have a Catholic nun, and she would use, a nun teacher, and she would use the word ejaculation all the time. Because it is a legitimate Catholic term, like meaning like hallelujah, an ejaculation.
That's what I say.
Yeah, but you know, as a 15-year-old, you don't understand the Catholic usage. You just
right,
understand the
nuance.
Yeah, And yeah, so it's like there is nothing better than having a Catholic nun saying ejaculation.
And always when they point to the board, they use their middle finger.
Yeah. And so I'm just thinking it's got to be the same thing, you know, like the foreign teacher just going, dungsa, dungsa, dungsa.
Dungsa ejaculation. Yeah.
Dungsa, shippao, kesegi. It makes their life. Man.
I've resolved. I got to use ejaculation more in my classes. So.
Except they won't get it. But sometimes that's half of the fun.
I would get it.
Yeah, right. It pleases me.
I don't think you get it. Class exists to entertain me. That's the only reason it exists.
You're practicing your stand-up.
I love tricking elementary school students. It makes me feel superior.
I love giving them games that make them look funny. I'm so mature. That's why I became a teacher.
I was one girl in my class, and first day in Hagwon, she's just crying nonstop. Like, she cannot believe how awful it is to be in Hagwon. And so roll forward, and we're talking about accidents. You know, they got to make a sentence like, I had an accident when. This one girl's like, I had an accident when I saw my friend. So I'm like, okay, so you see your friend, you're trying to cross the street, and you get hit by a car.
Oh, I thought you meant like she wet her pants.
No, yeah, not that kind of accident, yeah. So I'm like, hit by a car. And then I'm like, well, being hit by cars is not quite funny enough. You're hit by five cars. They keep running you over. Before they notice, there's a body in the road. And, all the Korean children love death. And there's nothing funnier than other than a teacher swearing in class.
Death. Crazy.
Yeah. And but the girl, Ellie, who was crying in class a few weeks before, she's like, teacher, you are cruel. And I'm like, Ellie, where are you? You're in Hagwon. Life is cruel, Ellie. Sooner you get to learn that, better you're going to deal with reality. Ellie, you could be at home watching television, and eating snacks, but you are in Hagwon, and it's your winter vacation. Ellie, deal with it. Life is cruel, all right? And she's like, oh. So the next girl, and I notice the next girl is always like, every verb she uses is always about doing violence to her brother. I kicked my brother. I hit my brother. So she says that, and, just passes harmlessly through the class. And then I'm like, Ellie, she's always talking about kicking and hitting her brother, and you're never like, Jennifer is cruel. Because it's happening to a boy, right? That's not cruel. If bad things happen to boys, that's not cruel, right? Right, Ellie? You don't know. No, teacher, you're cruel.
You're cruel for making her verbalize such a thing.
But then you may be wondering, why do I have a picture of Starbucks in the agenda, under the life is cruel? Because they are opening that right next to my apartment. 1 month before I'm about to leave.
That's hilarious.
And I'm like, did they do their market research? Do they realize their best customer is leaving Korea in a month? They don't know.
They don't do it.
Oh, bastards. And I'm like, so there is the very definition of cruel. Hi, this one kid.
That just means, that's a sign that you're supposed to stay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Then you'll stay and they'll open a mono there.
Out in podcast land, there's a letter writing campaign. We know how to make Carl stay. Get a Starbucks open up there. Not going to work. Sorry, man. But I had a kid in my class, and he was really upset because he had a new haircut. And all the other kids were making fun of him. And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with your haircut. It looks good. And then I realized, he had his elf burns cut off.
Oh, emasculated.
Yes. He just sort of had it. He's very short on the sides and nothing. I'm like, that's why he was all upset. I didn't realize.
Well, you gotta
see
me.
Every time Eunjong plays with my hair, trying to get it right, she gives me elf burns.
Oh, God.
Have you pointed out to her
I look cute.
Have you pointed out to her that you can actually grow the real thing?
Yeah, I can grow the real thing, but she gives me the elf burns to cover up the real thing. Dude, if it gets me laid, I'm doing it. It's okay.
You don't understand, Jennifer. Whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes.
Elf burns, though? Come on. That might be taking a little too far.
But the elf burns are mutating into literally, like, hair helmets. Like, they're just becoming, like, helmets of hair. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones, especially when they have so much hair product in their hair to keep them in place, that it looks like a major hurricane could come through and the hair would be unscathed.
Yeah, yeah, actually, my friend Inju last night, he has so much stuff in his hair that I think I actually pierced my hand when I touched his hair.
You know, I grew up in the era of Aquanet.
Sure, yeah.
That was for girls.
You grew up in the region of Aquanet.
Yes. Like, when I was in high school, you were not a proper teenage girl if you did not have a full size
You were not a proper southerner without
of Aquanet in your purse
without
at all times.
Crispy, bleached blonde hair that's been teased and Aquanetted.
Mine was not teased or bleached. It was just crispy
to
and Aquanetted.
Point that you know, but to the point that you know that if someone touched that hair, it would snap off.
Yeah. Okay, that I will cop to.
You know when I want to punish my kids, I sing that Carpenter song. You know, sing a song, right? And but it turned out not to be punishment because that when I discovered my kids singing it in the hall, or a close approximation, but then I noticed lately, WeGen, the air conditioning company, they're using it in one of their ads, and I'm like my kids.
I am ahead of the curve. Yeah,
exactly. My kids are gonna catch that. And they're
I
gonna
should
be like,
have videotaped this one time, but I almost taught a class that song.
Oh yeah,
so cute. Kindergarten kids singing that song. Gorgeous, beautiful, cuteness. Should have videotaped that one.
One of my kindergartners every day, she's no longer my student, but every day she dutifully reports to me before class to sing 5 gold rings from the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, right. She only gets up to 5.
She knows the whole thing, but my favorite part is how she does 5 gold rings.
How does she do 5?
Because she just belts it out, and she's got this tiny little kindergarten. She's got this tiny little kindergarten high-pitched voice, and it is so cute. And all the kids are like, she's got to go sing for you. It's time.
In class, I'm rattling off all the Korean bands, FT Island, Super Junior. Maybe I never did in that class before, but they're all looking at me like, how do you know about these bands, teacher?
And how can you possibly be so band. Cool?
You don't understand, man. They got rid of CNN.
I always do that when I do boys versus girls on, like, we're doing some type of spelling game or something.
All right.
Yeah, I always name the teams, like, Super Junior versus Wonder Girls.
Yeah,
And the boys are like, no!
This week's teaching opportunity.
Jennifer, you got a job opportunity. You emailed me about the, it was like some of the Christian school looking for a...
They were looking for a devout Christian, except Catholics or Seventh-day Adventists.
Which they just said SDA.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you had to sort of interpret as Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, so Mormon, Quaker, Amish... Good on ya.
Apparently the Mormons are okay.
but Mary worshippers and the vegetarians have got to go.
Yeah. But it wasn't even an E2 visa. It was actually some sort of missionary visa they would apply for.
Oh.
Yeah, I was reading the ad. It looked kind of funny, but...
Yeah, that sounds a little fishy. If you're on a missionary visa, then I don't think you're supposed to really be making money.
Yeah. But then I'm like... You know, 5 days a week, but I guess they're just assuming you're going to be in their church on Sunday, and of course you will be teaching at their church on Sunday. Yeah. It's one of the things you got to look out for if, you know, you get into those Christian schools that they will expect you to attend their church on Sunday and move with the herd. And if you're at all like, I really like my free time, you know, when I have free time, I like my free time. Not, I don't want to be surrounded by people with a guitar and they're singing all the time and taking me everywhere, you know, and also giving English lessons on the bus trips, you know.
Yeah.
You have to sort of watch those kind of schools, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, always, whenever I see jobs that are like, and our school offers this, this, and this for your, you know, to give you things to do in your free time. That's always like a big red flag to me.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing if it's offered as, if you would like to go on this little tour, we will arrange it for you.
Yeah.
But if it's like, we're taking this tour with all of the students, but it's fun, so you're not going to get paid, but you're required to go and teach on the bus.
But I wanted to send them to Christian school, no Catholics. And yeah. I wanted to send them a resume and make it explicitly clear, I don't like Catholics. And, and you know, have things like youth pastor, Stormfront, you know, things like obviously sort of right-wing neo-Nazi kind of groups. And see if I get a call back or get an email saying, sounds great. You know,
right.
When can we have a phone interview?
Yeah.
You're our kind of people.
We're going to get together and burn Little Debbie's so that damn those Seventh-day Adventists.
And did you mention that you have blonde hair and blue eyes? You're perfect! So that blonde hair does help you teach better.
But yeah, I could get a picture of a Nazi and then submit that as... But it can't look like I've just cut it out of a magazine
right.
or something. But
it just seemed like a skinhead photo. You could find one of those online.
For sure.
Yeah, I know. Carl, your eyebrows are too high.
You're right. Well, what would it be my photo? But, you know, drug testing. This drug testing is part of the new visa requirements. And,
People are panicking over that.
Yeah. And the thing with the drug testing is you don't actually get it back in North America. You come to Korea, and then you have to go to a government-approved testing center to get your drug test there. I don't know if it's a urine test or a blood test. But
probably whatever's cheaper.
But I guess like the big stink is the international clinic in Itaewon, where you would maybe naturally go. They're not allowed to give the drug tests there. They even hung up a sign basically saying, sorry, we can't do the government drug tests. We know it's stupid. You know, kind of like, we
don't
know what you're going to say.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So this one guy, and this is when we'll spot the logical fallacies. So one guy says, right before he's going to go do his drug test, he took a bong hit. He was doing some
good idea.
Yeah. So he was doing some pot right before his drug test. So he wants to sort of know.
He sounds like the perfect candidate to come to Korea.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, you've got Hagwon planning abilities right there.
Yeah.
You know,
you
will get along famously.
Especially because he says he's not a habitual user.
Yeah.
So he chose like this time. Right in this window when he's getting a drug test to decide that's a good time to take up a new habit.
Yeah. So then someone suggests on the board, like, oh, there are detox cleanser drinks you can take that will. And this other guy sort of says that, here's one of the fallacies. But I think his heart's in a good place. But here's one of the fallacies. So he used to work as a federal probation officer.
Yeah.
And he's administered a lot of drug tests. And he's seen every trick in the book. And he does not think he can be fooled. It can, you know, you can fool the test.
Yeah.
All right. To which another person replies, no, no, no. Those cleansers work. There are lots of testimonials on the internet saying they do work.
Because everything on the internet is a proven fact.
Yeah. So the first one, Joe, any idea what the first logical fallacy is? That the guy's done drug tests, doesn't think he can be fooled. He's seen it all.
Well, if he got fooled, he wouldn't have known.
Exactly. Yeah. It's called the fallacy of the toupee. I can always spot a fake toupee, or I can always spot fake breasts. But what if there's a really good toupee or really good fake breasts you've missed? So, yeah. So, fallacy of the toupee, I think it's informally called. And the second one is I took a cleanser, I took the drug test, I passed. That would be...
I'm too busy eating snack.
Well, obviously, they could have had a small enough amount in their system that just drinking the amount of water required
right.
for those cleansers
yeah.
would have diluted the urine
yeah.
enough.
Correlations, causation, that yeah. sort of attributing correlation. That you know, it's like, well, okay, you know, all drug tests have false, you know, false negatives.
Yeah.
So if you take the cleanser, you get caught, you say nothing. But if you take the cleanser, you get a false negative, then you don't attribute it to just the, a fault of the test, or the test was administered faulty. Through the test, and you attribute it to the cleanser, so you go on the web board and go, hey, it worked for me.
Yeah, and if it's somebody like this who took one hit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, really, how much would even be showing up a week, 2 weeks later? I know, like, technically it can show up in your system.
It's in your hair.
Yeah, it's in your hair for, like, 30 days or something, or 30 days of growth, so shave your head.
Yeah, they can't do the hair test here, because I know quite a few people with shaved heads here.
Exactly. It is kind of the style.
They could just take an eyebrow hair.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
From somewhere else, who knows?
Well, long and the short of it, yeah.
But I'm a swimmer!
Said it before, said it again. Yeah, if you can't do without pot for a year, then surely reconsider your career goals. You know,
coming to a country where it would be difficult to
consider your life in general if you can't go without pot for a year. I think you're just. Yeah, I think you need to get out of Loserville.
Yeah. And like, a lot of these people are busted. It's just, I mean, they literally just have their friends mail them pot. You know, like.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And
how did they ever get caught?
I know.
And the fact that that boosted up to a federal crime.
Yeah. And it's like, and again, it's like, you know, the
well, you tell them about the person you met the other time.
Which
a few weeks ago.
The
Canadian, the vegetarian.
Oh, that woman. I did mention that on the podcast. Yeah.
We're always trashing vegetarians, aren't we?
No, I'm not trashing vegetarians.
Well, we are.
Oh, we are. Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
We're always trashing vegetarians. Seventh-day Adventist and...
All right. I like vegetables as long as they're deep fried in beef tallow.
I go back and forth. Yeah. Sometimes I eat vegetarian for a while, but then I just kind of fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
But, you're right. So I'm walking down the street, and this woman sort of comes running up to me, and she's like, "Do you speak English?" Another Westerner. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Mais oui." Je suis parlé anglais, mais oui. But no, but I speak English. She's like, "Oh, good, you know, I just got here yesterday, and, you know, where's a bank, and where's this, and where's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, geez, no, yeah." So I'm trying to give her directions, and she's from Seattle, so I'm like, "Oh, cool, all right." Starting kinship. So I give her my email address. I'm like, "Email me when you're free, and then I'll show you around, you know, like where the grocery store is, and, you know, where
so someone in your neighborhood."
Yeah.
Okay.
Where the expat bar, yada, yada, yada. All right, so fine. So a few days later, I hook up with her after work, and we're going to go to Lotte Mart. And so she's talking, and she's like, "Give me your whole life history." So not only is she a vegetarian, but she's she only eats raw vegetables. So I'm like, "All right."
Yeah.
And then...
Do you mean she only eats vegetables raw, or she only eats raw vegetables?
She only eats vegetables raw, not cooked. So she only...
But she eats other foods.
No. She only eats raw vegetables.
Thing she eats.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, "All right." And she's going on about how unhealthy her life
was. Woody Harrelson does that too.
Yeah. And then she started eating the raw vegetables, and now everything's perfect. And she's like she was a spiritual healer in India. And a lot of like really bizarre woo-woo stuff. But I'm like, "Yeah, okay." But she's a really nice person. And I'm not going to judge. All right, so fine. But then, I noticed for the raw vegetable woman who's, you know, because it was the meat that was killing her. Not only does she like chain smoke and drink, but then like she's like, "Where can I buy drugs? Can you buy drugs in Korea? Is it easy to score drugs in Korea?" And I'm like, "You really don't want to do that." You know? But,
we'll just start by saying they target foreigners and leave it at that.
Yeah. So it was the Wendy's triples that were killing her.
Right. Where can I get some crack? Well, if there's no crack, some meth will do.
My crack is Burger King.
Crack and celery.
Crack and celery.
Yeah, well, it is a good dip for celery, I've heard. Celery's a little bland. put a little crack
sprinkle
on it.
Sprinkle it yeah. with crack.
Yeah, so your drug test, if you... yeah, definitely go on the internet and forget about those cleansers. But definitely, you might want to research, you know, the lag time between...
You might want to research going to another country.
Yes.
If you think you can go a year without...
definitely much more drug-friendly
Thailand.
Countries in Asia, yeah.
All right. A free piece of paper.
Yay. For note taking.
Yeah. I just had a on the Word document. I had forced.
So something I can draw
page.
Robots on.
Yes.
Are you one of my students now?
Yeah. I find if you give out a piece of paper to the kids, like a blank piece of paper, like to do, because you know, God forbid they bring a notebook to class.
Yeah.
You know. It's like
a notebook again. We needed one last time.
They've got 96 markers and one mechanical pencil that doesn't work for three. Only works for 3 minutes and breaks. And then they got to fix it. You know, it's like, why? You've got a huge pencil case with like every possible shade of ink on the planet.
Scented.
But, yeah, and scented. Yeah, no less. But you can't just bring a normal pencil.
Yeah.
You gotta bring a mechanical pencil, and this one is always broken, and you have to sort of malinger for 10 minutes trying to put that stupid pencil in. You know, you go
they have to put it in backwards through the point.
They've literally disassembled their entire sharp, and they're like, "Sorry, teacher, it's broken. I'll start doing my work when I fix my sharp."
It's the one that's
mechanical
been broken
pencil.
For the past 6 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll just gloss over that.
What gets me is like we give all of our kids notebooks. These little notebooks. They're all free notebooks. They're required to have them.
Right.
And I keep a stack of them in the room all the time.
Right.
All the time, the kids. They finish the notebook. Teacher, notebook, finish ye. I just give them a look and point to the other notebooks. You can get one. Would you care to look at our wine menu, sir?
Man. What kills me is when I give them the piece of paper, and before I have given them the instructions of what that paper is for,
they
filled it with pictures.
I know.
Because, like, they got the first piece of paper, and I've got to, like, go around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I know. It's like you leave any little, like, that's why in government forms you have that do not write in the space.
Right.
You've got to literally put do not write in the space.
I have to tell them no pictures on the test. I have to tell them no pictures on the test.
Yeah. They will start drawing.
Because the mothers look at the test. And I'm like, I really don't want, you know. It makes me look bad. Like, oh, my child is drawing pictures in his class.
Yeah, you're to blame.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they got a 43%.
But if you give one kid a paper, and you have this little fold in the paper.
3 out of 24.
Oh, they want another one.
No, it's not perfect.
Other kids didn't get a fold. I got the fold. Why did I get the fold?
Right, you don't like me.
Exactly. Ugh. This is that's our show portion, in case you haven't guessed.
Okay.
Yeah. That's our show.
Jennifer Cotisol.
Well, I meant to go yesterday.
Oh, you didn't go.
Well, I went to Rose's on the way.
Oh, yes, to pick up our cookies.
I went at noon to pick up the cookies, and then at 3 I looked at the clock, and I was like, oh, the meeting started.
Right.
I'm just going to go home.
Did we actually mention on the podcast about Rosa being... not really planning on how popular those cookies would be.
Yeah, Rosa, for some reason, did not realize when she sent out a mass email that said, I've got a Girl Scout cookie source, that people would be like, give me 800. She thought people would be like, oh, I'll take half a box. Can I split a box with someone? So Rosa ended up having to get like 12 cases of Girl Scout cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does she win
an award for top cookie sales?
Oh, no, I'm sure not.
No? Oh, man. But yeah, but it's like, you don't get it. Like, A, we don't have access to these normally.
Yeah.
B, we've got a lot of disposable income.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Spending, you know, $4 on a box of cookies sounds just about right to us.
Yeah. I mean, back at home, you'd be like, $4 for a box of cookies?
Yeah.
Keep moving, kid. Keep moving.
Right.
I don't want to see
your
ugly face on my doorstep
since I'm
ever again.
Friend.
Exactly. But here it's like $40 on cookies. I got no problem with that.
We'll spend, I mean, come on, we're spending $20 on a block of cheese.
Right, yeah.
Cheddar cheese.
Mild.
We have networks to find out where to score bacon.
Oh, man. Speaking about my sugar fix, I yet again I tried to go get Hoduck. This was Friday night after work. And it wasn't even that late. I mean, it was like after 7 p.m. And I go to my friendly neighborhood hoduck stand. And
is it well-being?
No, not well. Not in there. Not made with green
tea. In there.
No, or chop sal. Yeah. So I go to my friendly neighborhood hoduck stand, and there's no, they're scraping the grill. Yeah. You know, they're breaking it down. I'm like, oh crap. So I'm like, okay, but I really want some street food. So I'm like, well, there's like a Oh My Chicken, and they have like, you know, chicken on a stick, like fried chicken on a stick.
Yeah.
And it always looks good, and I was like, I'm going to stop there one time, but it doesn't look foreigner friendly, so I always kind of avoid it. But I'm like, all right, I'm going to go in there. And so I order a couple, you know, chicken things on a stick. And nothing I could say to this woman, I could convince her that, no, I don't want sauce. I don't want mayo on my fried chicken. You know, I don't want mustard. No. I don't want, you know, barbecue sauce.
Nothing makes bottle. A big oily piece of fried chicken taste better than a big squirt of mayonnaise.
A big line of mayo. Like, oh God, yeah. So I got some of that, and then you know the egg bread.
I love egg bread. Yeah. I haven't had it in a couple of years. I can't find it.
Egg bread. Not to be confused with our egg bread. Like, what's that Jewish egg bread? Challah.
Challah? I think it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So when we say, it's like cornbread. Cake with kernels of corn in it. And so the egg bread is literally like
a... It's like a thin pancake.
Yeah, like a spongy...
With a poached egg in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, poached egg.
I've never
not
had
poached,
that.
Like McDonald's.
All right. Yeah, kind of poached egg. Yeah, so it's literally like a sponge cake with...
It's not that sweet.
It's sweet enough.
Yeah, sweet enough.
Yeah. With a poached or boiled egg.
Yeah,
it's like if you got an Egg McMuffin egg with a hot cake around it. That's basically what
okay,
it is.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It's some syrup.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No?
Just plain.
Just plain.
But instead of the egg, this time it was a sausage. A sausage.
Really?
Yeah.
So you thought you were getting an egg and
No. I really tried to buy that. I'm like, how bad could this be? They're opening a Starbucks and I won't be able to enjoy it. And I couldn't get hoduck. I wanted to end it all, Jennifer. It's a depressing Friday night. Yeah. So I got that. I did buy some sausage. You know what they call sausage here is not sausage, but you know, it's like it looks like a tube of liverwurst.
Yes.
Okay.
But right? It's actually some sort of hammy type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff.
And I'm like, oh, this looks so awful. And it's not like it's not frozen. It's not in the refrigerated section. It's just out there in the open.
Oh.
And
if you have meat that's not refrigerated,
yes.
That would stay far away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Meat that requires no refrigeration.
That's beyond scary.
Yeah, that's always the warning sign. But so I'm like, but they had it weird, like, garlic and onion. And I'm like, and it was the price was right. It was like 90 cents. And I'm like, maybe it's like a liverwurst. I'm going to try this, whatever. And so I got it. And Yeah, but it's just like a.
So is it like a tube of spam or?
Yeah, like, basically it's like a tube with a kind of a meaty thing in there. But Joe, you got a cut out of here, Joe?
No, not yet.
Okay,
so Joe's she's actually being delayed. So
okay.
We have time.
Sorry, Joe's got to get to meet a friend at this.
I gotta keep my woman. She's been gone for a week and a half.
Oh. Do you have flowers for her?
She hates flowers.
Really? Do you have a sign at home? Welcome back.
I clean.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you
that's
go.
Good enough. That's
better
good
than
enough.
A sign.
And hopefully we're gonna go see Sweeney Todd tonight.
Oh, how sweet. Man. How long have you been dating?
Someone asked me that last night. I had to ask Inju to say, like, how long have I been dating Inju? Well, 3 years, I
three
guess.
3 years, man. Yeah, you're way past that sort of like...
Yeah, 3 years. Over 3 years, yeah.
The one-year mark is really the... Anyone can be on their best behavior for a year.
Yeah.
But once you get over that 1 year hump, that's when the rubber hits the road. It's like
we're quite the old couple.
Yeah. Like really into this relationship.
Oh, I like her. It's just, I just can't believe that. I mean, this is the first person. I've been with her for 3 years, and still...
Really?
She looks so sexy to me all the time. Every time I see her, it just drives me crazy. Every time she's walking around the house in her underwear, I drop everything. And I just drop everything, and I just ogle at her all the time. She's just so amazing.
So, can I ask, since you're sharing so much information, is this the longest relationship you've ever been in? Have you been in relationships longer than this and thought,
Usually,
I guess if I have to.
Yeah, no, I have been in pretty long relationships.
Right.
Yeah, because the interest usually dies down after 2 months.
Yeah. What is it? Weekly, then weekly. W-E-E-K. Then W-E-A-K.
But there's always a comedian was talking about, like, the longer you're in a relationship, you know, how many women men fantasize about while having sex with their girlfriends. And, you know, after a while, a man will eventually be running out of women to fantasize about, so he's trying to fantasize about the Queen of England. Yeah, I know, and then Jung, I don't need that.
Good to know.
I always call that the question. You know, when your girlfriend asks you, like, you know, what do you think about, you know, when you are, you know, self-pleasuring yourself? What do you think about? And then that's where it's like you got two answers. You got the honest answer, and then you got the lie and the dodge. So the lie and the dodge is, oh honey, I think about us in public, maybe that coat room in the new French restaurant. Why don't we go there on Friday? And then the truth is always like your best friend.
Yeah.
Like my former teachers, the girl at Starbucks, whatever. And that's where the honesty, I don't think women really want to hear the honest answer.
No.
I think they want to hear the...
I have to say that's nothing I would ever ask because...
Yeah, Angel doesn't want to know.
Maybe
she doesn't
want to
know this stuff.
But every Western girlfriend I've ever had, that's always eventually the So you end up paying for a lot of expensive meals. At the end, that question just means, you know, is it payday? I don't know.
I think there's a lot of questions that the asker has to know that there's no way they'll get the honest answer. So I just try not to ask those questions.
Yeah.
Why force someone to lie?
Minjung, every now and then she asks questions about my past. And yeah, I have a lot more. A lot more experience past than she has, so I don't really like talking about it too much. Yeah.
You know, there's a double standard.
I don't.
You were just like perfecting your technique.
I was saying that. I was just preparing for you. Making lots and lots of mistakes. Those are, you talk about mistakes, yes.
All right. Well. That's our show. Next week is our last show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do anything special. I thought, you know, like, I wanted to take a cue from Apollo 13. You know, when they were going back to Earth, there was the possibility they're going to miss Earth.
Yeah.
That they weren't going to hit that little window and they're going to bounce off and they're going to continue up into space. And the idea was, well, if that happens, we're just not going to open the hatches and evacuate the air and kill ourselves. We're gonna just keep doing as much science until we run out of air. That was their plan. I don't want to do a special show like, best of or like clip show or wrap up or something. I just want to do kind of like a little normal show. But then Jennifer, you're like, well, why don't you come to my place for lunch? We'll do it from my place for lunch. And I'm like, all right, normal show, but quiet.
Yeah.
All right.
Except then you'll be hearing my
cat.
So
this is officially the last Starbucks episode.
This is the last Starbucks. And in a new Starbucks, too. The one in Gangnam.
This one, I have to say, looks exactly like the one by City Hall that's decorated like a temple. From the interior is really similar. Like, I felt like I'd been here before.
Yeah.
It's like Dagobah. Something oddly familiar with this place. Sorry, doing a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
the reference.
we finally put up our job ad this week
for
our new teacher.
Okay, all right.
The trouble is, we're only looking for F series visas. I've already had, so, that's the big thing. It's a great, it's one of the most desirable Hagwon jobs in Anyang. It pays very well.
Okay.
It's the best atmosphere.
All right.
One of the fun things. This is our typical thing for our boss. Whenever he has extra money, or whenever he wants to do something for the school, like the last thing he just did was he upgraded our video card so we could play Half-Life Deathmatch.
Cool.
That's the type of school we have.
Right. Yes.
We have, most schools like have tubs full of erasers and markers and stuff.
Right.
You go through ours and we have sound cards and computer parts.
So it's like working for Google, as close as you're gonna get to working for Google. And
it's exactly it. It is like working the Google Hagwon job. It's very straightforward.
Right.
Your schedule does not change at all. You have your own classroom. So I'm able to decorate. I decorated my whole classroom with Transformers stickers this past week. That's something really weird. Do any of you guys know a Dennis?
D-E-N-I-S? No.
I'm asking everyone about this.
So was that the Margaret Thatcher's husband?
I don't know, but I received a package in the mail of all these stickers from some guy named Dennis.
Dennis.
I don't know him. Somehow he has my address.
All right.
And he wrote some note that says something like, what do you know? You can. It's cheaper to email. It's cheaper to mail things inside of Korea. And that's it. Dennis. D-E-N-I-S. And I've been asking everyone, who is he? Did I meet him while I was drunk one time and give him my address?
Maybe.
Your home address.
And told him I wanted Transformers stickers. Home address. So this has been the mystery.
I don't know your home address.
It's like, do I have a fan? Do I have
a stalker?
Stalker. Well, what's the difference, you know?
Well, the difference would be one has your home address.
Oh, yeah. It's my home address. So it's been cool. So I finally broke out the stickers. I've decorated my classroom. Our schedules are pretty straightforward. 2:30 to 8:30. You teach.
Man.
Pretty good classes. I mean, the monkey class is the only one. And even then, they're fun. They're just stupid. We're required to play. We play Uno and games in
all
class,
right.
And our teachers' meetings, which are rare, tend to be at Hula La getting drunk.
Right. you almost did a little stalker thing to me today. I saw me on the street where we're walking to the Starbucks, and you kind of just sort of like were in my peripheral vision for a while.
Yeah.
And I just out of the corner of my eye, I noticed someone taking interest in me. And so I kind of first do that look away.
Because you totally missed. I waved at you.
Oh, yeah? All right.
I waved at you and you were not looking at me.
Well, there was nothing but your movements in my peripheral vision that said foreigner. So I thought, okay, maybe it's some weird Korean guy who's like, why don't you go back to America, you dog? You know, I don't know.
I used to volunteer at haunted houses.
Yeah.
I used to do that to people.
So I sort of look away. And I said, when I sort of look back, you sort of jump more into my vision. And
I was. If you didn't notice me, I was going to ram you.
Oh, really?
I was just going to bump you into the street.
I work at a software company. I'd be at my computer clicking. You notice a lot of people who work in software, they always have mirrors on their monitors.
See you sneaking up behind them?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going clickety, clickety, clickety. And then I become aware of somebody in my behind me. And then I look at my friend Stuart, a computer programmer, and I'm like, oh, hi Stuart. He asked me a question and he walks away. He keeps doing this and I'm thinking he's making fun of me. You know, like he's like, how long can I stand in Carl's vision? And then when I would go to him, I would just be like, hey Stuart, blah blah blah. And then one time he scolded me. He's like, look, don't you notice what I do to you? I'm like, what? I don't say anything. I just stand in your vision, just at the edge of your vision until you begin to notice me. And then when you notice me, I ask you a question. You should do that to me. I'm like,
that could waste a lot of hours of the day.
He sounds like another candidate for Korea.
it made sense when he explained it. It's because, like, you're especially a computer programmer. When you're a documentation guy, it's not as important. When you're a computer programmer, you're
killing your train of thought.
Yeah, you're 9 levels into something thinking, and you're trying to get it all down on Emacs or whatever, and so So if someone's jumping in, just interrupting you, it, poof, it all goes away.
Yeah.
So computer programmers will just do that by nature. They'll sort of stand there, wait till you come out of your fugue state or whatever,
yeah.
and then you notice them. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach Injung that when I'm doing my writing. I tell her, like, if you hear the clickety, clickety, clickety on the keys, and if it sounds really fast, it means wait till there's a stop before you go, chagya! You
know. All right, so www.gocreate.info and gocreate@gmail.com. Bye-bye.
Bye. These so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink I need.